is time to put away the bias, the lies, and deceit and bring forth real talk from real people about real news. Providing the out loud truth and capturing the essence of a new generation all in a fast-paced hour. This is Viewpoint Presents.
Welcome to Viewpoint Presents. This is Malcolm Outloud. What really is the deep state? Is it fact or fiction? Does anybody really know who they are, what they are, what they want, and what they're doing to our system of governing? It's a far-fetched conversation in many cases. You see it all around, and there's a lot to question here, people. This is part of the 10-part series Viewpoint Presents. Let's get started, friends. Our panel today is Lieutenant Joe Pangaro is here. Ilana Friedman, George McClellan. The deep state, who are they exactly? Where do they come from? Are they bureaucrats, politicians, media, industrial, financial power brokers, potentially? Who are these people? Who do they serve? What do they want? Is it a vast conspiracy or just coincidence? And I think you got to question yourself, has it always been this way? And, or are we just noticing it now, right? I mean, I try to remember as a lad, was the deep state in place then, or did we just not know about it? Is it another term for the establishment? You hear those words a lot today, right? Is that another phrase for deep state? It's a name we've gotten used to talking about, which really reflects entrenched career politicians and bureaucrats, basically. I want to ask you a question here. Do you accept the existence of a deep state operating within our country?
Absolutely do, as a matter of fact. It's not an organized one like the mafia crime ring, but it is the bureaucracy, each person in it for himself. And once they get locked in the job, where they have some authority, like we saw in the FBI and the DOJ, then they become a danger. And when they protect the politicians who want to rise up there, like they have with Hillary Clinton, Lois Lerner, and others, then we have a RICO problem, a treason problem. And yes, the deep state, it is like a snake coiled up in there. It just moves a little here and moves a little there. It includes the lower-level bureaucrats who think in liberal terms or progressive terms who have been installed in all the agencies. That's it. That's what it is. And they're going to protect themselves.
Boy, I couldn't stop you, George. I knew you'd be on a roll. But I love that when you're at the starting line and the gun hasn't gone off, but you're ready to race. I love it. So let's pick that up, Joe Pangaro. You hear George opening up with some opening comments here. What are your thoughts on the deep state?
Well, I have to say George is correct, and the deep state is something that is part of, I think, any entrenched organization. And when I say entrenched organization in this context, I'm talking about the members of the American government. People get involved in these positions, they're positions of power, obviously they're positions people never want to leave. You rarely ever see people leave. They enrich themselves while they're there. And the fact that as people, as the American people, when we want them to do things and they don't do it, they really disregard everything we do. So I think there is a deep state. I just would agree with George that it's not an organized thing. They don't have meetings and decide how they're going to destroy our lives. They just, they're all got their own things and they're determined to keep them.
Interesting. You know, Ilana, when Lieutenant Joe says that just there a moment, it makes me think, imagine one day if there was a camera and we walked into a meeting and they were all there having a conversation, what we reference as the deep state and whoever these people are, Ilana. Boy, wouldn't that be a moment of time, huh?
It would, except that they don't do that.
Exactly.
They operate independently of elected officials in Washington. And they work within the government agencies, but they don't have meetings per se. The actors are independent of the nation's political leadership, and they pursue their own agendas and goals. The deep state, as it exists today, has a burning hatred of the president, and their overriding goal and aspiration is to bring him down at all costs. The deep state, does it exist? You bet it does. This isn't a conspiracy theory. It is deep conspiracy.
Wow, well said. All right, so let me give you some examples, guys. Let's get some examples here. For instance, let's start with some of the tech giants out there. Here's a few names. Do you consider this group of people part of this deep state? When I say the name Amazon, Apple, Microsoft, Google, Twitter, Facebook, Boeing, Hughes, are these kinds of organizations and operations part of the deep state, Alana?
You know, that's an excellent question, and I'm not sure I have an excellent answer for it, because so much of this stuff is done covertly, without any kind of public oversight. And when, well, take Google, for example. When they were operating in before the election, and when they were working on improving their search engine, there was discussion among Google employees as to whether they should move conservative responses to back pages so
That's right. That's right. So wouldn't that make them part of the deep state? Wouldn't that make them part of the deep state?
I don't know if you could call it deep state, but what I would say is that it supports the deep state.
Yeah, well.
It supports the efforts of deep state players to damage the president and the people who support him.
I think the reality is that it does support their, as long as the ideology matches with the deep state, then these players have a reason to be involved and to help. If you saw that the deep state was actually entrenched with more conservative personalities, you'd see all of these ancillary groups now that have a different political point of view, these corporations you're talking about, they would go against the entrenched politicians. So they would not be on the team. They happen to be on the team because they match ideologically.
George, what do you think about the tech giants, Amazon, Apple, Microsoft, Google, Twitter, Facebook? Are these cats part of the deep state?
Well, they're the propagandists for the deep state because, like Joe said, they think the like. And for whatever, I don't see the monetary reason why they need to be in deemed part of the deep state. No, they're not part. The deep state is the military-industrial complex. That's where the big money comes from. It doesn't come from Amazon. They're making the big money. They're not spending a lot of it. Google and Twitter and all these other things, Facebook, they're just propagandists, and they can be controlled by Congress, who can lock them down with certain laws, like they have newspapers and other groups.
Right. George, let me ask you this. What about these kinds of names? What about Bill Gates, Tim Scott, Warren Buffett, George Soros? What about these? Are these guys part of the deep state?
Well, they're above the deep state. That's where the money comes from.
I see.
That's where the money comes from. Apart from the military-industrial complex, he keeps wanting to keep making tanks and airplanes and ships and boats, which we need. Those guys are trying to control, particularly George Soros, I think. He has a very good history of ruining countries. He British pound sterling years ago. He seized that and ruined that. And that's his job. Where did Obama come from, for example? Who ever heard of this guy? And suddenly he's the president of the United States, a guy with less than one term as a senator. You can't even prove he went to Columbia.
So, George, are you saying that maybe he was a puppet of the deep state?
Oh, absolutely.
You do. All right. Well, let me keep going here. Now, Ilana, what about, obviously, the media is a big part of this. You're talking about folks like MSNBC Brian Williams. What about Rachel Maddow? What about Rush Limbaugh? What about Don Lemon? What about Stephen Colbert, Anderson Cooper, Sean Hannity? Mika Brzezinski, Joe Scarborough. You get the idea. What about all these people?
Well, everybody has an opinion, and some of the people you mentioned are on the right, and some are on the left, some are on the far left, and the left is moving left. So you're going into not only what they call progressive politics, you're going into socialist politics, and it's the Democrats in Congress are being dragged kicking and screaming in that direction.
Which has become mainstream conversation now, Ilana.
Absolutely, that's right. You have people who are brand new members of Congress who usually in the past kept a low profile for a couple of years until they got reelected for a second term and then started to have some carry some weight in Congress. But now they're running Congress. It's amazing. They're driving the activities of the Democrat Congress and creating policy by pushing their agenda so hard that they can't be ignored.
And then, Joe, then you've got folks like, you know, John Brennan, the former head of the CIA. You've got Comey. You've got McCabe, Peter Strzok, Lisa Page. You've got all these kind of people. Then you've got the political leaders. We're talking the folks like former Speaker Paul Ryan, even Nancy Pelosi, Chuck Schumer, Mitch McConnell, Colin Powell. What about all these people?
Well, that's the essence of what we're talking about as the deep state. These are the people that run the government, and they all have a connection. You know, both sides of the aisle are guilty of keeping and protecting their own. That's what it comes down to with all of this. We see when Trump came along, what he did is he upset that apple cart, and they took turns being in charge, but everybody made out well. Now you have someone coming in who wants to fundamentally change the deep state and how the government is run to get it back to a more traditional vision of what our forefathers had,
that's right.
The government should serve the people. And that doesn't work out when you have contracts, when you have money flowing all over the place. Mm-hmm. The whole idea of the deep state is to really divert our attention. You know, they're doing what they're doing, and you people just go about your business.
Friends, well, now you know what you hear these opening remarks about the deep state and what we're talking about. And now we got your attention as you hear the voice. Let me do some formal introductions. Lieutenant Joseph Pangaro, you were just listening to. He's a retired police lieutenant, director of school security. He's a master trainer and the owner of Pangaro Training. He's host of Chasing Justice, right here on America Out Loud Talk Radio. You can catch that every day at 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, friends. Ilana Friedman joins us. She's a veteran intelligence analyst specializing in terrorism and political matters. She trained in Israel. She's an advisor to law enforcement and global corporations. The author of four books, weekly columnist here at America Out Loud, friends. George McClellan is here. He's a historian, a political analyst. His professional career spans 43 years in law enforcement and the U.S. Naval Investigative Services. He is a weekly columnist here at America Out Loud. And all of these, our panelists, are commentators here on our programs, friends. So you're listening to Viewpoint Presents, our 10-part series, The Deep State Today. There's a lot to talk about on this topic, friends. Stay right there. More Viewpoint in just a moment.
The America Out Loud Talk Radio app is on Android or Apple. It's the perfect way to listen in to the new generation of talk shows and hosts who are ready to inform and inspire.
The goal is to deliver a message of truth, inspiration, and hope to the world, to unite people from all backgrounds and beliefs in an effort to advance humanity. News blogs, informative podcasts, and entertaining videos. It's AmericaOutLoud.com, where the conversation never ends. With 24/7 streaming on our free apps on both Android and Apple. Welcome to the new era in communications, America Out Loud Talk Radio. Okay, so we've opened it up here, and we've started to talk about who some of this cast of characters are. Who are these people? And there were some interesting thoughts that came from that. But here's the thing. We all would agree that whoever these people are, and or these organizations are, or groups are, they become entrenched. Let's use the word entrenched. So they become entrenched. In other words, they can't even see the forest anymore, people. You know that. I mean, that's what happens. Nobody could. You spent all those years and all that muck up there in the swamp. How could you? But this begs the question, isn't this the time that, you know, when you talk about this kind of thing, maybe, you know, isn't it potentially term limits important so that we can get them in and get them out so they have less of a chance to be entrenched? And I'm wondering, George, let me ask you, put you on the spot to that. And I want to ask you something here. I know there are a lot of people who believe that term limits are unconstitutional, really, that if the people want to vote a certain way, they should be entitled to vote. And hence why some of these cats are in wheelchairs, and we have them in there at 90-some-odd years old, functioning as a congressman or a senator, potentially. The question is, isn't that more of a chance for them to become entrenched in this bureaucracy and muck? And wouldn't term limits be an answer to moderate that somewhat?
Well, I agree with that, but the term limits is for politicians.
That's true.
The deep state is the bureaucracy. They're the ones who run the show. And when you have an agency like the IRS, the DOJ, and the FBI, who have the power of arrest and can back it up with firearms and send you to jail, then you have real problems. That's the tyranny of a democratic, once democratic state. Those people are unaccountable, like the Bureau. How did those people at the top ranks of the FBI, when did they become a Gestapo state? Who gave them the authority to investigate without authority somebody else? Well, I can tell you, the FBI does not have, it's not authorized, like all the other agencies, the ATF, the Navy, Army, to investigate by Congress. They just do it. There's not a charter for the FBI. The CIA has a charter.
Well, you make me think a moment, George, because you're right. Term limits wouldn't solve that whole problem. You're spot on. But listen, you know what I started thinking is, and what do you think about this, Alana? Is this even possible? I don't know, but I'm wondering. So these senior level positions in a lot of these governmental agencies that have really been spotlighted in recent weeks and months here with the deep state. You know, maybe they should be on term limits as well. Now, I know that sounds a little weird, but think about it a moment, Alana. In senior-level positions in a lot of these agencies, so what if it was mandated in these agencies that could only hold the position for so many years? In other words, you could never have a career government executive like that. They would have to be turnover. We would require that. We, the people, would require that. This sounds a little far-fetched, doesn't it?
No, actually it doesn't. I'm a firm believer in term limits for people who hold positions of power. But the problem is that not all of the people who are operatives in the deep state are at the very top of their profession. You have people who are at the lower levels.
That's true.
Who are career bureaucrats who stay in their jobs long after the president has left and long after many members of Congress have left. And they have self-appointed missions to define policy and ensure that their version of policy prevails, even over the legitimate policymakers like Congress and the president.
Right.
So what's going on is that under the surface, we see the people who are the leaders, the very high-profile people like Comey and so forth, and these are the people who are highly visible. But underneath them, you have people like Peter Strzok and Lisa Page, who had their own mission to essentially destroy the president. And they enhance their powers through liaisons with lobbyists and influence peddlers, and by leaking documents, rumors, and classified information that for the purpose of damaging whoever it is they're targeted.
That they don't want.
The president.
Yeah, they don't
Politics is a form of asymmetrical warfare. And deep state players are the guerrilla fighters in that war. And I think if you look at it that way, you begin to see something very, very sinister.
Yeah, that's well said, Alana. Boy, that is, I could quote you on that exactly. Joe, you said early on in the opening remarks there that you thought that they didn't have organized meetings, which I kind of, inside I chuckled with that because I thought, boy, that is interesting, Joe, that you know, there are no organized meetings for these people, but it's a philosophy. So here's the thing now. All right. One thing you notice, they all use a common dialogue or language, Joe. So, like, common words they'll use. You hear the word sustainability, or you hear the words manufactured, or the words, even words like climate change, which used to be global warming, by the way, but they had to change it to make themselves more relevant. And before that, it was not global warming, it was global cooling. So it's whatever the moment is. But these words, they seem to pick up. And then they go like wildfire, Joe. The media use them, the politicians use them, the organizations use them. It's almost like a star chamber behind closed doors that are pulling the strings here. It's almost like a puppets of some sort. But if we don't have term limits, if we don't hold these executive key positions, if we don't hold their strings back and hold their power back, Joe, how do we deal with the deep state? I mean, what's the answer? If they're all really in cahoots with each other, how do we stop them?
Malcolm, you bring up the crux of the problem we have here, and I think it goes with any organization of length and time. I remember my first glimpses into how these kind of things work in organizations that I was a member of, and it has a connection to the bigger deep state we're talking about. I became a person of influence in this organization, and I was brought into a room and said, listen, you had a lot of great ideas to get yourself here, but here's how we do things here if you want to stay a part of this. And I think that's exactly what goes on with these people. They are running these, you're talking about terms and words they use, the Star Chamber. This is part of keeping all of us off balance. They get us arguing over these nonsense points, and we're not seeing the bigger picture underneath. And that is, they want to maintain their power. They want to maintain their position. They want to maintain everything. And the only way to do that would get us all arguing over this nonsense. Currently, it's a one-sided argument. When you hear the word repeated over and over again, I remember a while ago when they were going after Dick Cheney, and it was, he had no gravitas, no gravitas, no, and that word was used everywhere. That's everyone piling on that one side. You know, our side doesn't have that power. The conservative side, we can come out and say, this is inappropriate use of governmental power. You're never going to hear that again. That may not even make it to the media. The media is extremely powerful because most people I know get their information from media. They live on sound bites,
right.
And that is how the deep state people are controlling us. But
right,
you don't have any general ideas coming out of people. They just agree with what they hear or disagree with it.
You know, Joe, you say sound bites. Let me talk about that a quick second here. You always say something profound that catches my ear. You all do. But you say sound bites. I throw those words out there. That is really part of it, and that's interesting to me. With these sound bites they throw out. George, in the previous months and weeks around this program, there's been a fight in Washington about distractions, what I call, what Joe's talking about, these distractions, where government has been closed. I look at this kind of sort of like the shell game, if you will. So right now, what's been going on for months and months is, and this has been an ongoing process, about the government being closed or not. And I see that as a shell game. What worries me is not that the fact that government is closed or open, that part of the government, that 15, 20, 25% or whatever the hell it is, but what they're doing, why they're distracting us in front of the camera, a nonsense that a lot of us really don't give a hoot about. What worries me is what they're doing with their hand in the cookie jar over here. The same thing with that viral video that went some time ago where they had the Native American with the face of the Covington school there, as I recall that story. And I remember that face off and how that went viral through the public domain. It was crazy insane. And they were all like waiting for that moment to jump on. So what I'm saying is, are those instances part of this narrative that Joe talks about, where they pick up something and it's a bit of a distraction game, because that's all they do is they beat that into our heads. I get so tired of hearing it, George McClellan. I got to shut the media off. I will not listen to them when they go berserk like that, you know?
Well, exactly right. Yeah, that particular one, the media was there because it was a woman's march against abortion.
Right.
On the ball, and so all the protesters were out there, and here were these boys with their MAGA hats. What a great opportunity. It was one not planned. It was just an opportunity. They seized on it, and it blew up in their face.
But, George, they're very good. They're very good at seizing. Now, stop there a moment. They're very good at seizing opportunities. You bring up a great point. They tend to do that all the time. Why are they so good? Because they look for these opportunities like that. You're absolutely right. There was a dual marches going on, women's marches. One was mm-hmm. pro-life. One was pro-choice. One was we want to murder your abortion. The other was, you know, let everybody live. And the media covered the one that was obviously abortion-driven and women's right to choose, very controversial topic in this nation. But they do look for those opportunities. But it looks to me, George, that there's a good part of the population, the deep state specifically, a lot of these characters, and specifically the media, who love those opportunities. They seize on them, and they're able to make these things go viral. It's a real talent, isn't it?
Well, they got the machinery to make it go viral. I mean, they're out there with their trucks and their cameras and their crews just for that purpose. I mean, it takes somebody with an iPhone and a camera
to videotape the real story and get it out there.
That's it.
I mean,
right, that's focusing. They're focusing the story on what they want it to be.
That's precisely correct, on what they want it to be. And this one blew up in their face. I wrote right immediately, I wrote that Covington Boys versus Rules for Radicals, and there's two Rules for Radicals, which describes exactly what the Marxist or the left-winging press is doing in this case. And I see you've got it up on the site already. So, you know, there's answers to everything. I also have an answer to the previous problem you're talking about, how we take care of the deep state. The military's been doing it for years. Every 2 or 3 years, you get a set of orders and you move. Now, why couldn't an executive in, say, Homeland Security, every 2 or 3 years get a set of orders that moves them to the State Department or to an overseas billet? And that includes all of those people in the bureaucracy who are not in uniform.
George, you bring up a great point, which I was thinking of before. Here we have these organizations, these different departments in our government that we're talking about. The deep state players are really the people entrenched down below. You know, the talking heads at the top, they come and go. Why isn't the executive of each one of those departments not controlling their department? If you put me in charge of a police department and I come in and the cops are doing things different than my policy, I am going to seek them out, and they are going to have to deal with the punishment that comes with not doing what the leader of the organization told you. Why we allow this to go on and on and on? Where is the strength of leadership that says, I've appointed you, you're in charge of the IRS? Now, that person in charge of the IRS should make a message all the way down to the bottom and to the top. This is how we do things now. And if you do anything different, there's a problem for you, whether it's disciplinary, firing, or whatever. To let these people just run wild is what I don't understand.
Well, they've gone rogue.
That takes strong hands.
Yeah, I think what you have is a situation where you have a whole culture which is so thoroughly indoctrinated in the progressive culture that their whole mission is to fight the new culture that the president is trying to bring to us, and in his efforts to change the way we operate and become more honest in the way we operate, he has made a lot of enemies, and these are the people who are now many of them in charge or in senior positions in our major agencies.
And that's a great point, and that's exactly what I'm talking about, is that this culture war, we are fighting a culture war, and it's the weight of history. You have to look at it. This America is such a unique thing in all of humankind that we're only 200 and something years old, and the pull of history is to go back towards tyranny. That is where humanity has always been. That is what we always end up suffering under. We have been the difference. What we're seeing now in front of us is, for whatever reason, the pull of history is trying to drag us backwards. And all of these people that are the deep state, the media, that have all these left-wing pullings, the history's right in front of them of where this is going to lead. But why they're so determined to drag us there, that's what I don't understand. They're dragging us back to tyranny.
You know, I think it's all about power. You mentioned that before, that the sum and substance of all of these efforts is about achieving power and maintaining it, holding on to it as tightly as you can. If you look at what Nancy Pelosi just did to become Speaker of the House, she basically horse-traded, threatened, did all manner of combat with her fellow congressmen in order to win that seat.
In many ways, that would make her a brilliant politician. That would be the qualification of a leader.
You know,
when
I was running for Congress many, many moons ago, we went to training classes in how to win an election. And the very interesting, the one of the most interesting points that they were trying to teach us is that when you have an interview and the interviewer asks you a question that you don't want to answer, they taught us how to spin the answer so that we answered the question that we wanted to answer.
Absolutely.
And not the one that he asked.
Absolutely.
And that is exactly the process that all of these politicians who all go to training classes at some point in their career, this is one of the things that they are taught, how to manipulate reality.
Oh,
in
absolutely.
Such a way that they can achieve the ultimate goal, which is power.
Ilana, that's political 101. In fact, one day we're going to walk into a room and find that training class going on. I don't know who's going to be running it, but they're going to be training all the political elite how to do exact, because it's an art form. What you're saying, right, it's a total art form. And they're very good at never answering the question, but they know how to drag it out there big time. Yeah, absolutely.
Pelosi's hanging on by her fingertips. We got 29. She has 29 Democrats, half of a Marxist in her Congress who don't listen to her anymore, including Steny Hoyer, who's going to give her the shaft. He's twice has spoken out against her on the wall. Remember that? And we don't hear any response from her on this. She will not last 2 years as the Speaker of the House. I think Steny will be the next one that's coming. But her party's falling apart. 29 people running for President of the United States, including... well, not AOC. She's not old enough. But in half of them marches, where are we going? This Congress is a basket case. These people are like the media. You know, the media, they're leftists, and they hide their psychosis behind journalism.
The lowest approval rating from the American people are exactly Congress, congressional leaders, and the media. So listen to this a minute. The people who are running are, think about this, people. The people who are running are our government. The people who are in charge in creating these policies and legislating, these people have the lowest approval rating, I mean, ever. It does, I mean, and it ranges, people, between 12-13% and at a high, 18% at a high. High. That's for the nation. Think about that. And the president clearly would be double to triple that if he's up in the 40s to 50s. But think about Congress and think about the media. The media also have the lowest approval rating in the nation. Now, that means that Americans are not trusting. They don't trust political leaders. They don't trust the media elite. But yet nothing changes. Joe, why is that?
Right, re-election is, what do they say, 95% re-election for incumbents?
That's right.
Because my guy is okay, the rest of them are bad. You know, when you said a few minutes ago about, Ilana, you were talking about how these politicians learn to not answer questions.
Yeah.
Our forefathers thought of that, and that's why they gave the press such power in our government, that when you hear somebody say something that's nonsense, instead of just shaking your head and going along, you should ask the real follow-up questions. You know, I can't imagine that a politician that was trying to lie would have much chance with Malcolm here, if that he would pursue that individual. If I asked a question about, well, do you think, term limits is a good idea? Well, I think that bringing things to my district is really the most important. No, that's not what I asked you. I asked you, do you think term limits is appropriate? Let's answer that question. Our press doesn't do that. Our press has chosen sides.
Our press has totally lost their way.
And they're corrupted
so badly. They don't do their job at all.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And that's part of the corruption of what we're seeing here. And this is, you know, Malcolm, you asked before, what's the answer? It's a one-word answer, and it's very scary. I've been writing about the crossroads for the past couple of years. The answer is revolution. And I don't mean to start a modern hot revolution, but, you know, in some of my columns I've been talking about this. There comes a point when this reaches a boiling point that we are totally left on our own here, and they are running everything. They're not doing
Joe, let me ask you on the point you just made, please, because I have noticed on your show and in your write-ins, you talk a lot about that crossroads. You just spoke about it. You're speaking about really a moment in history. Before we pause here a moment, just tell us, what do you think that looks like? Sincere question now. What do you think that looks like in your honest opinion ahead when we say the word revolution? Because I have my version of it and my vision. What is yours?
Well, I've talked about the hot revolution. This is where, you know, like our revolution from England when we broke away from the United Kingdom. There's also the cold revolution, which is the one that's already started. People are getting so frustrated now that these young boys at Covington, for that young man to say he stood his ground because he didn't do anything wrong and everyone's attacking him, the lines are slowly but quickly being drawn here where, you know what, we've taken enough and we're going to force change. Now, what nature that forcing is going to take, I don't know. I hope it's not a hot revolution, but you can only push people so far. We are 50-50 people, basically, here. Only one side is totally dominant and hurting the other side. There is no both sides of our lives anymore. We are being dominated, and people only take that for so long.
Okay.
And you're starting to see people starting to stand up and fight back.
All right, right. Okay. So, friends, well, again, Viewpoint Presents, you're listening here, Lieutenant Joe Panguero, George McClellan, Ilana Friedman. Again, this series, a lot of big topics here. So I want you to, you can go back to AmericaOutloud.com, just look up Viewpoint. You can get the whole 10-part series there. Big, big conversations. We've had all kinds of very interesting folks on this program that you're hearing. And it's good stuff. I love being able to listen. The point of this program is to get you to think. That's all this is. I want you to think. I want you to think things through a little bit and consider the alternatives, consider the options. Let's take a look back. Sometimes it's good to step back, people, before we step forward and consider what is ahead. Friends, stay right there. More Viewpoint in just a moment.
We are the vision of the voices. You can email us at talk@AmericaOutloud.com.
Think back to the last time you felt healthy and energized. The best times of our lives occur when we're at the peak of our health, sleeping better, full of energy and focus. We know that fades with age, and you might be feeling the effects of aging as low energy and poor sleep. But it doesn't have to be that way. There haven't been any nutrition systems designed to rejuvenate our bodies as we get older, until now. Healthy Cell Pro is the only multi-nutrient system that impacts the building block of your body, the cell. Created by anti-aging expert and Nobel Prize nominee, Dr. Vincent Giampapa, award-winning Healthy Cell Pro cuts through the complexity of nutrition supplements by simply giving you the purest ingredients, filling dietary gaps to nourish your cells and enhance your quality of life for optimal performance. Visit HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for an exclusive discount or call 844-869-9958.
We're talking today about the deep state. What is it all about? Where do these people come from? Who are they exactly? You know, I've been thinking as I look around the world at some of the strife and some of the conflict and confrontation that is happening around the globe. And I'm always thinking, whether it's Europe, whether it's the Middle East, whether it's Central America, it doesn't matter. There's conflict. Conflict is part of humanity. It exists everywhere. And in a lot of these conflicts, I want you to think about it in this term, there are groups of people. Part of the problems we've always had in the Middle East is there are a lot of different origins of people. They don't always cohabit together well. They don't seem to always connect, right? There's that ideology, or there's a breakup there. And we see that in a lot of places. Again, we see it in South America, Central America. We see it in Africa. We certainly see it in Europe, big time Middle East. Guess what? I want to point something out to you. We are also experiencing, I believe, the same thing. And a very interesting, we cannot not have this conversation about the deep state and talk about a very interesting column article that George McClellan just wrote just not too long ago here. It's up on the platform here. You just go up to bloggers and look up George McClellan, you'll find it. It's called Where America's Real Corruption Hurts. Is this a deep state example is what I want to ask you. And so when you see, and you did a very interesting connect the dots, George, in that column, that article, that essay you did, a very interesting connect the dots sort of thing. And you got to remember, I just want to remind people of one thing. When those emails were flying around, we can't let him win. We must stop him. We need an insurance policy against him winning. You know, George McClellan, have we ever seen that before, where we've seen that kind of blatant language, English, right in our face, which told us they were worried? That's part of the deep state, I think. Would you not say?
Yeah, that's what makes it work. Before internet, you would not have found these things. People wouldn't have had the time to sit down and write a note and mail it or hand carry it to the lawyer they're shagging over in the DOJ. I mean, it's just amazing what the internet has allowed us to do. It leaves a trail, though. and that's why they're in trouble.
So, George, let me ask you something. When you say the trail in the media, that's, and I always think about this in these terms. Now, you lay out very interesting, really a scientific proof you put in that article, like you say, which is a lot of information out on the internet. I often wonder, a lot of people think that we're in uncharted waters. These are unusual times. And we actually had a conversation about this on Viewpoint Presents just recently. How unusual is this? How unique? Or is this just another day in the chapter of humanity? And what I think, what's different about this moment, George? Well, what's different about this moment is what you just said, technology. So I think corruption has always been in place. You can bring it back to the Roman Empire. You can bring it back all the way to our early beginnings as people, as in humanity. And corruption has always been in play. So what's different now? I mean, they didn't communicate before because they were more isolated. But I think this thievery and this evil, to me, is a fight of good versus evil, George. I think it's always existed, hasn't it?
Well, it has. We've always had a lot of smaller political units, like, say, the Huey Long family in Louisiana several decades ago. He was Boss Hogg. They even made television stories about Boss Hogg. Who could stop him? He was in the driver's seat. He was, and people kowtowed to him and paid him whatever they wanted. He because he provided for them what they wanted. The internet removes that. The internet shows us, like the film of the Covington Boys the other day, people with their telephone cameras actually showing the real story. It all has torn the scab off the deep state. And we can peek inside now. There cannot be a Boss Hogg anymore, even though, for example, Nancy Pelosi thinks she's won. She's losing it.
Right. Right. So, George, we're not saying this. I just want to clarify then. We're not saying then. I just, this is important. We're not saying this is brand new then. We're not saying. I just want to make sure of this here with everybody to understand. Because listen to me. A lot of people really believe the sky is falling. I mean, they think that this has never happened before. For real now. That we are in complete uncharted waters and that this has just shown up on our doorstep somewhere. But I don't think that's the case, George.
Well, that's right. The sky's falling, but it's just falling a little faster.
I like that. So I just want to reflect back a minute, because many of us are restless. We feel restless. We feel uncomfortable with the way things are, Ilana. We don't like it. We want to see a more harmonious atmosphere with our political leaders and our business leaders and our media and our environment. Yet we're not seeing that as much. But yet again, technology, as George just said, it opens up, you pull off the Band-Aid, there's a scab there. It pulled it off quicker, so the scab is exposed. But I think that scab has always been there, Ilana, has it not?
Well, it has, but there are some things that have changed. We've always prided ourselves that no matter how much we disagree with each other, there has always been an orderly exchange or change of command following elections. That stopped when Al Gore was running for president against George Bush. And he lost and refused to accept the loss. His supporters were saying that the Republicans had stolen the election. And that became a kind of mantra that led up to the Trump election, where Democrats now refuse to accept Trump as their leader. He's not their president, they say. And you have somebody like, in 2017, Obama's CIA director, John Brennan, made a statement that executive branch officials have an, quote, obligation to refuse to carry out what he considered to be outrageous or anti-democratic orders from President Donald Trump. What in the world is that about? Is that a call for a coup? I mean, these are new things in America. We haven't had this before since the Civil War. And
this is the boiling point that I'm talking about.
This is the boiling point, and I have many close colleagues who have been in the nasty business of intelligence, who are who really believe that we are heading for a revolution.
But there's something different about this moment you're suggesting to me. So, all right, and Joe, you've been all over this. I know, I understand that. And you really believe in your heart of hearts that this is not business as usual, right? This deep state business.
I absolutely believe it because I'm a patriot at heart. I love my country. I don't mind that there's different points of view. Matter of fact, that's what makes a great country, when we can all see each other's points of view.
Amen.
When we can see, I didn't realize that what we were doing was hurting you. How do we bring you into the picture? We are all Americans, and we need to all together here to have
Joe,
but
Ilana says, a good point there, that what's different is they are not accepting certain things. They are not wanting to negotiate. They don't want to talk. There seems to be this, I want to take my toys and I want to go home and I don't want to play with you anymore. And things are getting, that's kind of the problem, I guess, huh?
Malcolm, this is where you can see, you talk about it as the Band-Aid being ripped off.
Right.
This is where I'm seeing the revolution has already begun. Now we're seeing, instead of, you know, you didn't like the past president. If you didn't like Obama because you didn't like his policies, but you put up with it because, you know, they won, they're in charge, and he's going to do what he's doing.
Exactly.
You hoped our people would stand up and fight, and they didn't.
And
they failed us all. But then we win.
They wanted a change. They got Donald Trump. He was the disruptor. He was the outsider. He was the guy who was never supposed to win.
Exactly. And that ripped the Band-Aid off them. So now they're not talking about, well, let's have to deal with what he wants to do. And if he did, they are plotting from before he took over.
Exactly.
To concoct stories. This is a complete removal of our American democracy. People are not realizing how serious this is.
Right.
What happened here with the FBI and all these other Department of Justice groups that did things behind the back of the American electorate to try and get rid of this guy.
And here's
this
thing, Joe.
This is the moment.
Joe, here's the thing. The other thing is now they're trying to come at him from all sides. Speaking about the current president, number 45, okay? Let's speak about that a quick moment here because we can't have this conversation and not talk about this. So he comes in. He talks about draining the swamp. We've heard those words before. He's not the first politician to say that. Of course, he's not a politician either. and that's what made him different indeed. Now he's up there. He doesn't have anything really to lose because he ran with his own money, his own thing, and it's a little different. The cards are different. They're scared of him. They don't like this Trump presidency kind of thing, and that's where a lot of this flashback is coming, and they're going after him. But here's the problem, Joe. There's no human being that is perfect. They don't exist. Every human being has a closet, and some are deeper than others, but there's a lot of stuff in the closets. Nobody's perfect.
Of course.
But what they're doing now, what I'm well, and I bring this up as another valid point to the deep state, because there isn't a single one of us on the planet. Nobody on this call, nobody listening right now, no, as much as I love you all, nobody that would come to our platform, any of our loyal fans and people, nobody would be capable of running for an office of like the angel of the heavens that was so perfect. They've never done, I mean, there was nothing they've ever done that is tarnished, tainted, nothing. It's a perfect human being. It does not exist. Therefore, now, they're trying to find something with Trump right now to show that he is incapable, he is inadequate, he is a fool, he's a buffoon, he's done bad things, whatever, you know, they're doing this through his personal attorney, Cohen, and they're doing it through other means. In other words, take him down at all cost, Pangaro. That's what they're trying to
everyone,
do.
It's everyone on both sides that are doing it. When have you seen any of our Republican brothers and sisters stand up and defend this guy, other than Lindsey Graham once in a while? They look for the opportunities to attack him. They want him gone, too. When you said he said he was going to drain the swamp, and we've heard that before, the only problem is he's actually doing it.
He's doing it.
And it's on both sides. It's not just the Democrats.
It's on both sides.
Of course.
Of course it is.
And it's my view that the deep state constitute a direct challenge to our form of government. They are working primarily through the intelligence and law enforcement agencies, but the deep state is actively engaged in subversive measures to take down the Donald Trump presidency. That is huge. Do you know Bill Moyers, even before the inauguration, suggested that Hillary Clinton give her own inaugural address?
Ha!
And he advised Democrats to prepare to prepare it by joining together as a movement and creating a constituency that would be in effect a shadow government.
Well,
and
we're
this
talking
was a recommendation,
Ilana,
prior to Donald Trump's becoming
what we're
elected.
Talking about is two countries, two nations. Really, that's what you're talking about, and it's not even being hid or covered up. Let's take a look right now, George, and tell us, tell our listeners, tell folks, what do you really feel in your heart of hearts? If you're to predict the next 5 to 10 years, George, what really happens? What's the best view? What's the worst view? What happens?
Well, what I foresee is this. Joe is quite correct. There's a blood war coming on the horizon. Unless people like us see Hillary Clinton go to the dock, Lois Lerner go to the dock, Jim Comey go to the dock, and face charges for the crimes that they've committed. Brennan, too. All of these people, all they've got to do is take down one or two of them, and the deep state will collapse. And we will feel better because we know our government is doing something, but they're not doing something. And until those people are charged in a grand jury and go to trial, Americans will not trust this government anymore.
And if that doesn't happen, George, are you saying that, did you say just a moment ago that the result will be a blood war?
Well, yes, okay. It has to be. What else is there? I mean, our side, at least our side still has its guts. That's why they want our guns.
Mm-hmm.
And we're not going to let them take our guns. Venezuela right now. Venezuela is the perfect example.
Exactly.
That's precisely what I'm talking about.
I was thinking of that, George. Honest to God, I was thinking of that. Right? It's a perfect scenario, isn't it?
Malcolm, you made a great point earlier about what's going on here. Now, you think back to Ben Franklin when he came out after the Constitutional Congress and a woman said, "What kind of government do you have?" And he says, "A republic if you can keep it." We are only one generation away, as been said before, of losing our freedom, because freedom is not innate to humanity. It's not. We live under tyranny forever until this experiment came along. Now, whatever's coming down the road, I think, George, you're absolutely right. If we don't see justice take place with what we're seeing in front of our very eyes, what took place here, if another government did what our own Department of Justice and FBI did,
mm-hmm.
we would start a war over that. That's right. Treason of what they tried to do to our elected president, no matter who it was. If it was Obama and they did that to him, I would say exactly the same thing because he won the election.
Mm-hmm.
This is unbelievable moment in time that we're at mm-hmm. that we have to recognize and hope that we can have smarter, cooler heads mm-hmm. figure this out before it comes apart at the seams.
Yeah, it's very interesting. And right now it's even more interesting because you've got all these factors we're talking about. What's different about this revolution is we've never had one with technology being at full steam as it is today. And now, with the technology, it controls a lot of our resources. Ilana, that's another point. We take a look at this revolution. What does it look like? I mean, I hear the words blood war, I hear the words revolution, or I hear the words compromise or talk or bring it together. And then I hear what George says, if we could pull a couple of these cats down and lock them up for real, potentially that may be the answer to pulling down the deep state. It looks like the scab is very fresh and very real, Ilana, and America is at risk right now, potentially, you think?
Yeah, I do think. I think America is greatly at risk, and people like Hillary Clinton and Eric Holder and John Brennan and all these people who have essentially challenged the system because of their own quest for power and riches and have not been held accountable. And I think it is essential to our future that justice be done. You know, it used to be that if you threatened the president, even, in a, mm-hmm. a private setting,
right.
you could be arrested and go to jail.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Now, anybody can threaten the president. The comedian whose name I won't mention because she's so ugly and disgusting,
exactly.
but who held what looked like a severed head of the president mm-hmm. on national television, mm-hmm. bleeding from the neck. I mean, disgusting.
Yeah.
And yet she's still out there making bad jokes and disgusting jokes and nothing is being done to people.
Nothing's
like this.
Nothing's being
and
done. No.
This is something that shows that there is change and it's not changing in a good way.
And along with all those other names you threw out a moment ago, too, let's not forget that list expands greatly. You only touched on a few, and you really mentioned some of the far left-wing extremists. But, you know, at the same time, you've got people like Mitt Romney, Paul Ryan. There's a lot of others on the right side, Ilana, that
Absolutely.
Are equally corrupt and disturbing to our republic, I think, in a lot of ways here. So I think then... To put a head to this whole conversation, then, Joe, you're every week, every day, every week, you're on the front lines trying to warn America. You're trying to warn Americans what the dangers are. You talk about the crossroads. You're trying. My sense about you is you're trying to appeal to people. You're trying to appeal to all of us, to the common folk here, that we understand the gravity of the situation and we take control back. Are you still hopeful for that, or do you think we're sort of at the end game here, that it doesn't look good?
Well, I'll tell you, Malcolm, I know for on a couple of the shows on Chasing Justice, I started to get a little down on the future, and I'm always a positive kind of guy. I think that America has shown us, you know, our country's history has shown us that when we're down, the people do come back up. To make us great. That's the beauty of what this amazing experiment is. So right now I'm hopeful that we can avoid the ugliness that may be coming.
Right. All right, friends. So again, you're hearing the voices here of Lieutenant Joseph Pangaro, George McClellan, Ilana Friedman. We appreciate all of them. They're commentators, contributors, writers, and great personalities here at America Out Loud. Friends, I am concerned for this deep state business. This was a very serious topic to me and one that we need to cover gracefully and get you to think. Again, the purpose of this series and these conversations is to get us all to think of what the consequences are, where we are right now at this moment of time, and how do we get the best outcome. That's what I'm looking for. I'm looking for the best outcome. I'm looking for the best outcome for you, for your family, for your friends, for America, for the world, for humanity. That's what I hope for, is the best outcome. But there's a lot to question right now. And before you turn it off and you go your other way thinking it doesn't matter or thinking it doesn't impact you, because there are a lot of people out there who have their head in the sand and they don't pay attention because they think it's not their concern or they have no power and they can't do it. But you know, the power of America has always, always been we the people. It's always been we the people. Even when monarchies and powerful people were trying to take we the people down, we the people won. And this is another moment in time where we the people, so this is a serious rallying call for everybody out there to take it back and to understand the consequences here of the nation and what's really developing. What I take from this conversation is we all should be concerned. Friends, the Out Loud Truth continues back at AmericaOutLoud.com.